Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. Welcome, everyone, to the Dr. April Jasper Show. You might notice we're in a very special place with a very special guest. All right, Tim, let's see if I get your name right. Tim, V to the ends. V-ends.
V-ends. Yes, you got it. We're good.
So I love this moment because you and I met through a common friend, and I never actually met you till today, but we had a chance to talk and communicate about some things that were eyeball related. And now I looked you up, I saw your story, and I thought, my audience needs to know about you.
Yeah, yeah.
So where do we start? Tell them about you.
All right, let's jump back to the end of 2019. So I was with one of my best friends, Hank Foley, and we were at a sports bar and grill in basically Daytona Beach. And we were talking about the upcoming season. It was the off season for me in racing. And we were talking about racing, and he's like, well, what's your plan for this year? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I don't really have a big game plan right now. I'd come off of racing full time and went into the part time situation. You know, I had a new baby and the whole bit. And so I was like, I said, I don't know. And he goes, well, what do you think about, you know, doing something with Trump in 2020? And I was like, I said, that would be really cool, but how are we going to pay for it?
I love it.
Racing's expensive, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like,
how expensive?
Oh, very expensive. Like, your kids don't go to college expensive. So, yeah.
So now you're thinking how?
Exactly.
Okay, tell us.
So we started thinking about this, and I was like, I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. We got to figure out how we're going to pay for it. So we ended up creating a political action campaign. And that would allow us to go raise money to put Trump Pence 2020 on the race course.
Oh, my gosh.
So we started this, and within 3 months, we raised over $1 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So we were pretty much off to the races at that point, right? So, we sponsored Cup cars and my trucks and my Xfinity cars in 2020, Trump Pence full wrap, red, white, and blue, the whole bit. And it was amazing. It was amazing.
I think I saw a video of you going up into the plane, the Trump. Yeah. I mean, that must have been so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I got to meet the president at Daytona in February. And he came in, and he, you know, they had his car, whatever they call it,
that motorcade?
The beast. So he drove the beast around the track and the whole bit, and then I had the Trump Pence suit on.
Woo!
I met him and got the pictures and everything. But that's actually how I met John Duncan.
Oh, cool.
And John Duncan was the chief pilot for the president. And so I met them before the race, and they came over. I met him and his wife, Stacy, and we had a good time.
Yeah.
And then through all of this process, Hank is actually a captain, 767 captain.
Wow.
For Delta.
Oh, my gosh.
So John was, you know, a big racing fan. He's had tickets, infield RV camping passes for like 20 something years.
I did not know that.
Yes, at Daytona. And so we immediately hit it off. We started coming over for barbecues and hanging out and having a good time. And I was like, hey, are you guys looking for any extra pilots? And he's like, you know what? The campaign's coming up. We are.
What?
So I was like, I got your guy.
And
introduced Hank Foley to John, and
wow,
now Hank is a captain on Trump Force One.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
No wonder the smile. And I think it's really cool how people connect people. And
absolutely.
That's sort of our connection, too.
Yes.
So you never know. You never know when those people are going to come into your life and create those moments of opportunity.
Correct.
Would you say that's one of the reasons why you're where you are, because of the people that have come along the way?
Absolutely. I mean, family, friends, it's, you know, that's the most important thing. And, you know, it just, it means everything. And, yeah, you know, that's what makes it go around.
So there are going to be some people listening and watching that don't know anything about motorsports.
Okay.
So give us a, you know, start from the beginning. What is it like? What I want to know is, what is it like to go, what is it, at least 200 miles an hour around a track? Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say this with your mom in the room, because I'm sure it makes her a little nervous, but it scares me to death.
Yeah. So I got, like, a lot of drivers start out as kids, go-karts, and, you know, when they're 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
I kind of got into it later in life. And how I got into it was, I was originally from Vermont, and my father-in-law at the time was a huge Kevin LePage fan in Vermont. He was from Vermont. So when you actually know the driver, it makes it more personable for you.
Yeah.
And so he was a big Kevin LePage fan. And when I moved to Florida in 2001, I went to the Daytona Speedway. My sister was there. She met a couple of the crew guys. And, of course, they're hitting on her, you know. But anyway, so we go to the racetrack, and I run into Kevin LePage. And I was like, hey, you remember me from Vermont? I went to your golf tournament and da-da-da-da. And he's like, yeah. So we were talking, and I was helping out that weekend with whatever, you know, with their crew and the whole bit. And he's like, hey, just out of curiosity, you know, if you know anybody, we're looking for sponsors for, it could just be a single race or this or that. And I was like, I'm looking around the garage, it's Home Depot, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, you know, I'm like, I don't know any people like this,
right,
you know.
Right.
And he's like nah. So I called him up a couple days later, and I was like, just out of curiosity, how much would it cost to do a single race? And he's like, we could do it for $30,000. And I'm like, okay, I got a small business, you know, and I could see myself doing something like this. Would I do 30,000? I don't know, but maybe I would do 5 or 10.
Oh my gosh.
So I thought about it a little bit longer. I called him back up and I said, listen, I got an idea. And he's like, what is it? I was like, what about, instead of asking small businesses or companies for 30,000, why don't we ask X amount of companies for 500 or $1,000?
Wow.
So we created a company called RaceDaySponsor.com, and we basically invented this micro sponsorship package where you spend $1,000, you get your decal on the car, you get to come to the race, you get a pit pass, you get to go in the garage, you get to experience all the behind the scenes of the whole thing. And so he convinced the owner of the team at that time to put RaceDaySponsor.com on the race cars. And I remember being in the garage after we started this whole thing and built the website, and the NASCAR people come over with the cameras, and they're like, what's Race Day Sponsor? I told them. Literally the next day, RaceDaySponsor.com, the future of NASCAR on all their social media.
That is brilliant. See, I think that you have a whole lot of gifts, but that's how it got started. But then when did you start?
So a little bit after this, and this is going back to 2002, 2003, about this time period. And so now I'm bringing money to race teams. So I'm the team owner's best friend at this point. Right?
Yes.
So you give them the money, you know. So I got invited up to North Carolina to Rockingham Speedway. They were doing a test session, and they were doing some, like, driver training stuff. And he's like, Tim, come up as my guest. So I was like, all right. I go up to North Carolina, and he's like, we're going to let you get in the car. So I jumped in the car. I was in love.
Oh, my
love.
Gosh.
I came back from North Carolina, and I bought my first race car, similar to one we're sitting next to.
Wow.
And started racing at New Smyrna Speedway every single weekend. And never stopped.
Wow.
But the great thing was, I controlled the money.
Oh. How rare is that?
So now, like, I'm putting two and two together.
Yes.
Right? So, okay, I'm giving the money to NASCAR. Now I want to be a driver. I'm putting my own butt in the seat instead of other people. And that's how I got started.
So let me make this sense. You make money. You have fun. You have tons of friends. You're innovating. Yep. What else? What am I missing? This is incredible.
It's been a journey, and it's been a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I have several favorite tracks. I like the
I want to hear it.
Okay.
Go.
So obviously I live 10 minutes from Daytona Speedway. So that's my favorite track because all the friends and family get to come. We get to tailgate. Yeah. We get to, you know, we get to do the whole experience. And, but the super speedways are different than a lot of tracks because they're 2.5 miles and you're running bumper to bumper. Literally, you're touching the car in front of you and the car behind you is touching you. So for an example, when we do qualifying or practice, if you're running solo by yourself at Daytona, wide open, you don't lift, you're probably running 185, 187, something in that range. When you're in the draft, it's called, when you're running bumper to bumper, it becomes a freight train. So we're running upwards of 15 miles an hour faster when we're bumper to bumper.
Oh, my gosh.
So those are my favorite tracks. So Talladega, Daytona. Once they repaved Atlanta, that became a super speedway, basically. So I love the big tracks. I feel like it just it benefits my racing and like my quick hand coordination or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, we talk about that in our field, you know, in the world of eyeballs. We're all about eye hand coordination. And that's what makes some of you, like you, makes you as good as you are. There's a lot to do with your eyes. You know that.
Absolutely. So it's just been so much fun. And, you know, I'm 48 at this point in my life. And am I going to stop? No, I'm going to be doing it for the next 10, 15 years. Like, I don't care. I'll be the gray haired guy in the car. That's cool.
And you can, because you're raising the money too. Are you still?
We still do it. Yeah, we still do it. And we sponsor a lot of teams and they love us. And it works out great.
So, Tim, do you have other businesses as well?
I do. Most people don't know this about me. They see the social media, they see the racing, and they're like, oh, he's a NASCAR driver. And, well, actually, I'm a tree guy. So,
okay.
I have a company that I've had for, oh gosh, probably going on 20 years now. And we basically broker privacy trees in New England. So, a big thing up in New England is they don't do the white PVC fences that you see in Florida or the wood fences for backyard privacy around your pool and stuff. They plant these evergreen trees that stay green year round and you plant them in a hedgerow and it becomes this natural privacy border.
Wow.
So I actually got into the business through my father when I was, you know, in college. He was, you know, slaving me out, working.
Go dad.
So
a good work ethic, Tim.
After he moved to Florida from Vermont, I kind of ran with the business and been with doing it ever since. And it's been good to me.
I love that. And see, that's why I wanted you to be here. Not only are you amazing in what you do in racing, but you know what it's like to be an entrepreneur. You've been, I've never heard of someone being able to come up with ideas to make their dream become reality.
Yeah.
That's incredible the way you've done it.
It's kind of runs in my family. My sister Desiree and her husband Adam, he came up with an idea for a sandwich container. It's called a SubSafe.
I know that.
Yes.
I love
so
that.
They ended up going on Shark Tank and got a deal with Mark Cuban and Charles Barkley. Yeah. And that's their company to this day, and they have a million products now. So.
Oh, my gosh. So that's the one where you put it in there, and you can seal it, and it doesn't get wet if I go out canoeing, right?
Yeah, you can throw it in your cooler. It keeps it from getting wet and squashed. So
yeah, nothing like a soggy
sandwich.
And
it's a great product, but it kind of inspired me when she was starting to do that.
Sure.
And then I developed basically a MacGyver tool for the boat. So I have a 10-in-1 tool called the Boat Gadget, which is actually
my suit right here.
And so we run it out of the same warehouse and we're on Amazon and in some different stores and West Marines and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
well, we have a lot of friends and listeners that are totally about their boats, you know, being in Florida. So it'll be interesting to see how many of them have it already.
Absolutely.
And if they don't, best gift ever.
BoatGadget.com.
There you go.
So
along the way, Tim, I didn't warn him, by the way, you guys, what I was going to ask him. So this is all on the spot, think in the moment. So you're sort of in a, don't take this the wrong way, but I think that there could be people that watch racing and think it's a sport of one. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean by that? Sure. It's you in the car. There's nobody with you. And sure. So they think, oh, it's just mm-hmm. all about Tim. Is it all about Tim, or is there something else going on behind the scenes?
No. Most people, when they watch a race, they see it on TV, and they see the driver, and that's all they see. And, you see the pit guys jumping over the wall, changing the tires and stuff like that. But they don't know we're on the track for 2 hours at a time, right? But to do that 2 hours, it's 100 hours in the race shop prepping that vehicle. And the technology that is in the sport is mind blowing. I mean,
yeah.
And the amount of money, the technology, and the amount of people that are in the shop working to put one race car on a track is a lot. It's a lot. So it's definitely a team effort. And, whether we win or we finish 5th or 10th or 15th, we're celebrating as a team.
That's great.
It's definitely a family. And I really love that part of it. And, the drivers, all the drivers at the track, we're all supportive of each other. We all,
That's cool.
Anything you need, like if we get to the track and something's not right on the car, you can go to any team and be like, hey, do you have an extra one of these? And they're like, take it.
Wow.
So it's family.
And then what about on race day? What is the team doing race day?
Well, so with any typical race, you have three different components that are going on. You have a practice session, then you have a qualifying session, which is typically one lap, and that's how they set the field, the lineup, for the actual race. So you have a lot going on. It's usually over the course of 2 days.
Wow.
Usually practice and qualifying, or let's say if I'm racing Friday night or on Thursday. But you also have technical inspection with NASCAR. So you're literally pulling it through a garage similar to something like this.
Wow.
It's so high tech that they're using lasers on the car to make sure that you're not cheating an eighth of an inch on your spoiler or on a certain part of the car with the body to gain that 1/10 of a second, because that can mean the difference in the race.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a lot that goes into it. So we have tech that we have to go through. And I've actually been fined for failing tech, so it's not fun.
Not on purpose. Not cheap. Accidents happen.
I actually had a window net that expired, and
oh,
I'm not the one that put the window net in the car, but
right.
It failed, and I got fined $10,000 by NASCAR.
Oh my gosh! So, every detail matters.
Every detail. Every detail.
So when you look at the team and what they've done, and you look at what you've done, you've not only been successful on your own, but you've brought a whole group of people with you. What does that feel like to help others along the way?
It's amazing. When I first started out in racing, at like the local tracks and stuff, I met this guy that was a crew chief at the time, and he's like, what are you trying to do? And I'm like, what do you mean? What am I trying to do? I'm going NASCAR racing. He looked at me like I was nuts.
Wow.
He's like, these guys go their whole lives and don't get this opportunity. I don't know what you're talking about. He thought I was crazy. And I was like, listen, when I go NASCAR racing,
remember,
you're coming
you saw
with me.
You did.
So, and he's like, all right, deal. And then he's like looking at me like I'm nuts. But literally less than 2 years, I was NASCAR racing.
And he's with you?
He was with me for a little bit, and then he ended up taking a corporate job in Florida. But
wow, that's cool. You kept your promise.
I did.
So you ready for a big question?
Yeah, I am.
Along the way, there must have been some challenges. What's a challenge that you can think of that we haven't talked about? And then better yet, how did you overcome it?
Biggest challenge. I think, the biggest challenge is, with any sport, and, there's only less than 100 drivers in the entire sport. And most people don't know this, but NASCAR is the biggest sport in the world. It's bigger than the NFL. It's bigger than the NBA. It's bigger than golf, tennis, you name it, any of them. There's 60 million NASCAR fans around the world. And, there's less than 100 drivers in the entire sport. So, just to give you an example, the Miami Dolphins, who I'm a big fan of, my helmet is the Miami Dolphins. they have 100 players just on one team.
Right.
So, you got you got love, you got people that love you and you got people that hate you. And, you know, so I think it for me was a challenge in dealing with people that no matter what you do on the track, off the track or whatever, they're right there on Twitter. Just yep. bam, 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 bam.
Yep.
And so like, it's hard to, it was hard for me to kind of like deal with that and yeah. not respond and try to defend myself. And no matter if I defended myself or whatever, you can't win. You cannot. Yeah. So, you know, I had to reach out to other drivers and stuff, and they're like, dude, you just have to let it go. And I'm...
That's a good life lesson. So I tell people all the time, you can't... I mean, you only give them more validity in my mind, even as a doctor, when people say bad things about us. Most of the time, first of all, they're not true.
Right.
Do you find that to be the case
also? 100%. 100%.
And you just hope people are smart enough to realize that's not even a true statement. But then the more I acknowledge it, the more I validate their statement. So
right.
I'm with you. But yep. that is tough. All right, you ready for another?
I am.
Okay, biggest wins. And it doesn't have to be a win like... racing, but biggest win in life, and how did you achieve it? What was really that something that gave you grit and motivation to make it happen?
Biggest wins, several things jumped to mind. First, my family, my daughter, my son, like those are my biggest wins, you know. But you know, my faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And as far as like, you know, racing, and I haven't won to this day. It's hard. It, you know, it's money driven sport. So you have to have a lot of money behind you to put yourself into that position. But I'd say, you know, when me and Hank did the race fans for Trump and did all the race cars, like I said, there's 60 million NASCAR fans. When we wanted to do this project, we wanted to have a mission. Right. Yeah. It was not just about putting Trump 2020 on the race cars. It was about doing something that made a difference. And so we did a lot of research. We looked into it. And what we found out was that the sport is 80% conservative, meaning they probably lean Republican.
Hmm.
And out of 60 million fans. But what we found out was like 20% of these people were not registered to vote.
What?
Is a crazy number.
Wow.
So what we did is we reached out, we came up with this game plan, we created a mobile app, and we reached out to local Republican parties at the different tracks.
Huh.
We would bring in 50 to 100 volunteers at every single racetrack. We'd park the beautiful Trump 2020 car out front, and then we would register people to vote. And during 2020... we registered 237,000 people to vote.
Wow.
Which in any normal time would have probably made a difference. I mean, he's winning or losing states by 10 or 20,000 votes.
Yep.
We're registering 237,000 people to vote. And, you know, obviously there was probably a little bit of cheating going on. So, but, you know, if that was in 2016, you know, or 2012 or whatever it was, it would have probably meant the difference of him winning or losing. And
absolutely.
So 237,000, that was me and Hank were like high-fiving after, and we're like, you know, maybe one day we'll get a call from the president and we get to go golfing with him or something. And so we're still, you know, we go to dinner and talk about it. Well, maybe we'll still get the call, but we'll see.
All right. So when you get the call, what right. golf course do you want to go to with him?
I want to go to his golf course, of course. Let's go down to South Florida and go to Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, like. That's in our backyard. Just a couple miles.
But I will say he did sign my race suit. So,
oh, I love it.
And that's a lot of thanks goes to John Duncan for that. So,
yeah, but, I love that. I cannot believe that you sit here and you say we created an app and we had all these volunteers. You say it like it's just one sentence of nothing. And that's incredible. All right. Amazing sponsors, some of which you've explained to us. Anyone you haven't talked about that really stands out to you over the years?
No, I mean, I've had so many sponsors over the years, and you know, I'm thankful to all of them. Yeah. And a lot of them still will, you know, they'll, when I say, hey, I want to do this race or this race, they'll be like, how can I help? And I'm like,
that's great.
Get a set of tires, you know, a set of tires is $2,500. So,
yeah.
But you know, they, I've had a lot of my sponsors for years and years, and they're happy to help anytime. So,
so as an entrepreneur, let's take a little different direction. What words of wisdom would you share with others out there that are just trying to get a step forward?
I would say the biggest thing is if you have a passion for it, you got to pursue it. Like, you have to go all in. So, you know, just you have to go for it. And if you fail, you fail, you know, and if you fail again, try again. So the biggest thing is don't give up. You know, if it's your dream, make it happen and go all in.
I love that. Words of wisdom. Okay, I love this one, you guys. So you guys don't know it, but my husband's behind the camera and some of Tim's family is here listening and friends. So maybe they haven't heard this one, but here it goes. What would Tim tell his younger self today? What would you tell your younger self to do different maybe or just anything?
I would say stop pursuing football and stick to baseball.
No way!
Because I was better at that. I don't know. You know, like I've gone through up and down roads in life and with relationships and with, you know, just business, and there's highs, there's lows. I wouldn't change anything. You know, I don't regret anything. Yeah. You know, I got my daughter, my son from two different marriages, and I don't think I would change anything, to be honest with you.
That's good. All right. So what's next for Tim?
Oh, goodness. You know,
I think everyone in the room is ready to hear that answer.
Well, I did meet someone new, and, you know, I'm excited about it. And
yay.
We'll see what happens. No, I'm going to do some more racing this year. Next race is New Hampshire, Loudoun Motor Speedway.
Wow.
And then Phoenix, I'm doing a doubleheader where I'll be driving the truck on Friday and the Xfinity car on Saturday. So at the end of the year. So a little bit of racing, a little bit of life, and have fun. I'm headed to the Keys on Tuesday.
Fishing?
So we're going to do some fishing. We're going to do some lobstering. And
you'll be using the boat gadget?
I will be using the boat gadget.
I'm sure he will.
I like that.
Hey, one more. Since he brought it up, you guys, it's his fault. So as you talk about all these things you've done in life, you talk about what's next. When you look back at successes, is there anything that when you look back at it, you would say, that one really stood out. That one was a moment that I will never forget because that was a turning point for me.
You know, I look back on a lot of many things, and I wish I could change a lot of things, but
you do, but you don't. You already said that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know.
I know.
We do make dumb decisions sometimes.
I do too. And don't we dwell a lot on those? It seems ridiculous that we spend more time in our brain. We give more brain space and heart space to those moments where we aren't proud of what we did. When I don't believe in any way that that's what any of us should do. So I love that I'm not alone in that.
Yeah. I believe our path is already 100% laid out, and everything that we do and every day is it's already been laid out by God, and I firmly believe that. So you know, I'm glad, very glad that I got introduced to you.
Oh, me too.
It was definitely a life-changing thing. You know, my father's eye vision was, you know, we were under the impression that he was going to be blind in less than a year, and so I prayed about it hard every single morning. And
Dad, we love you.
And I wasn't willing to give up.
No. Know? And see, you turn your grit and your passion into taking care of your family. And that's a life lesson right there. And man, when we talked, I knew. I'm like, we're going to take care of this.
Yeah.
There is no way on this earth that we're not going to take care of Dad and make sure that he's okay.
So big thank you to you, Dr. Yeah. Brinks, and it's been life-changing. So
thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
So, you know, I knew something when I met you, Tim, when I heard just communicating with you, I knew that you had a story to tell, and maybe this is a story people know, but the more we share with each other and with others, the more we can help each other. And that, I can tell, is who you are. Excellent. Any last words for the audience?
No, tune in for the next one. And I look forward to hosting you at a race. And she's about to get in the race car in a second here.
Oh my gosh. So, oh, that's what I wanted to say. So how hot is it in a race car, Tim?
Lord. It's hot right now.
It is.
And I'm not in the race car. But, you know, 140 probably. It's brutal.
Gosh.
It can be hot.
How do you survive?
Well, we have AC units that blow into our helmets, so that helps a lot. But you know, hydration key.
Yeah,
a lot of hydration. But yeah, we got it. It's a couple hours. We make it. We'll survive.
I think he has.
And
fun.
Hey, you know, I'm trying to lose a couple pounds. You know, being single. You know, so that doesn't hurt.
I just am so blessed to be able to be here with you, Tim. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll see you. Well, I'm going to get in the car in a minute, but we'll see you on the racetrack.
Absolutely. My pleasure.